This episode is brought to you by Danone North America, the world's largest B Corp, committed to doing all kinds of better for people and the planet. Learn more at DanoneAwayFromHome.com.
Welcome to Jupiter's Almanac. I'm Matthew Rayford, the great-great-great-grandson of Jupiter Gilliard, a former slave who bought the land I now farm in Georgia nearly 150 years ago. Through the years, my ancestors have passed on some essential and hard-earned wisdom about growing and producing the food we eat. It's my great honor to share that inheritance and to invite other farmers from Georgia and around the country to share their tips with you.
It's an opportunity for us to slow down and to connect and to plug in. And the farm does that in a way that lets you connect and appreciate the life that exists and nurture and cultivate that, and then extend that to the relationships to the people who are in that house with you and your community.
So if you are just starting out, reconnecting with the land, or a seasoned farmer, join the conversation.
And to be honest with you, it was like, would Warren come out and say, hey, I want to be a farmer? Probably not. I consider myself a city kid. You know, when we initially got a horse, you know, I have that New York City mindset. A horse, I'm thinking thoroughbred horse, aqueduct racetrack, Belmont racetrack, those type of things. You know, and slowly but surely, I'm starting to understand a lot more.
I do remember early on, like, you know, the first month or two of dating, how we would daydream about starting a farm together. And it's kind of like, hold on, let's like pump the brakes and get to know each other first and then talk about that, you know?
So what got me into chickens? I always joke and say that a chicken saved my life, and it very much so did.
I'm interested in Black liberation that's ecological and that's not contingent upon these systems giving us anything. There's also something that's beyond this that I want and that I seek for our people, and that's intimacy with the land, and that's reliability.
And so for us, it's also this idea of connecting people back to the land and connecting our folks back to their ancestry. So what does it mean to organically, sustainably farm in our current economy and time?
Please subscribe to Jupiter's Almanac wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to a very special edition of The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. Souther, Greg, how are we doing?
Doing all right, man. We're all far-flung today. Well, Greg and I are in our normal positions, I think, here in New York.
Yeah, closely flung here.
Yeah, and you are on the road.
Yep, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico right now. I'm sitting in a rocking chair, and I don't have an Underberg, but otherwise, you know, maintaining... Not bad.
That's why you sound this way, right? You always kind of sound like you're coming through a phone call before you have an Underberg and get that nice, like, rich baritone for the day, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You need to pack those things for travel, man.
Well, Souther, I did.
Yeah.
I've been on the road for a while.
That's right, you have. It's been a full week now. It's unbelievable. You got any tales to tell us about your travels thus far?
You know, I've just been on the road a bunch. It doesn't matter. I can say this. It doesn't matter how long or how many your playlists are. There's never enough. So SiriusXM radio comes in handy. You know, that's my tip to everyone. And also buy more Underberg than you think you're going to need. Yeah. Because you're going to also go through that pretty quickly.
Buy Underberg and listen to podcasts. You heard it here first on The Speakeasy,
yeah,
folks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I I go through the minimum of one per day when life is, you know, just at home. I feel like you're right. When I'm on the road, I pack them with me, and then I whip through them a little bit quicker than I expected to, because I'm, you know, nipping more than one a day. You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, you're on vacation. The rules change.
The rules have changed for sure.
Yeah. Greg, let's kick the show off. Talk about who's joining us in the virtual studio today and what it is we're going to go over.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason we are coming to you at the ungodly early hour of 11 a.m. is because we have a very special guest in the studio with us today. From World's 50 Best, we have Mark Sansom here to talk about a really special announcement that they made last night. So Mark, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on, guys, and terribly sorry for getting you out of bed so early. I did feel guilty about it, but not guilty enough.
Yeah, sorry for keeping you from cocktails at 4 in the afternoon where you are.
Yeah, Don't tell my boss.
I think this type of news warrants some waking up early in the morning. But before we get to that news, let's talk about you a little bit. Content editor for World's 50 Best Bars and the World's 50 Best Restaurants. Talk about like what that entails and just 50 Best in general for the listener.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the remit, as you kind of described there, is pretty broad, to be honest with you. With the World's 50 Best Bars, which is sort of my main focus, I sort of curate all the content that goes onto our website that looks to sort of promote bars and bartenders all over the world. I also sort of put together the Academy chairs who I think we'll go into talking about a bit later, who choose the voting panels in the respective regions across the world. And yeah, so the awards have obviously been going since 2009 with the World's 50 Best Restaurants. We've been going since 2002. So yeah, that's 18 years of that. So it's getting to be quite a heritage. And yeah, as the pandemic that we're all facing at the moment, we hope that a bit of positivity is going to be what the industry needs over the next few months.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, like a shot in the arm for the morale, because I know that you know, the longer this drudges along, the more defeating it feels. You know, I'm certainly in that boat myself. You know, here in New York, by the way, just yesterday was announced that 9 different zip codes, we're breaking it down to zip codes at this point, 9 different zip codes are being threatened with being shut back down. And that just makes the fear that, you know, the city itself will get shut back down again. You know, Paris yesterday closed all its bars and restaurants. Like, it's a tough time. And it's creating a lot of tension within the field because we simply have no real way to have the information any sooner. And so we're constantly in a state of flux, and it's been pretty, you know, disheartening. So some good news is certainly something we could use. And everything that you're doing at 50 Best is, I think, leads towards that. You touched on something that's very front of my mind for these sorts of things in general. And I want to talk about it kind of right away to kind of establish how the system works. Exactly that. How does the system work? How do the judges get picked? How do they stay anonymous? And what are all the mechanics behind 50 Best? Because it's a very difficult thing to whittle down the world's bars and restaurants to just 50.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the easiest way would probably be to take it right back to what we're doing this year, and what we'll be doing going forward. So this year we sort of devolved the world into 20 regions. Previously we'd only had 5, and 5 with each with an Academy chair who would choose the panelists in their region. Now those panelists come from sort of 3 main areas. They're either well-traveled bartenders, drinks writers, and sort of cocktail aficionados, people who travel the globe in search of the perfect drinks. So yeah, previously the regions we had were South America, Central America, North America, Europe, Asia, which obviously doesn't reflect the world and how devolved that the bar scene is all over the world. So by devolving it into 20 different regions, each with its own Academy chair, we can sort of be closer to those independent bar scenes. And that's not to say that the Academy chairs who were doing it when we only had 5 regions weren't doing a wonderful job. They certainly were reaching out to the right journalists and bartenders in those regions to get the votes. But to become closer to the actual people who are going to these bars and meeting the bartenders, we needed to be sort of closer to the epicenter. So yeah, so we've devolved the world into 20 different regions this year. And this year we have 540 panelists on those who come from those regions. Each of the academy chairs, as of which there are 20, decide the best mix of those three regions, sorry, those three styles of people who will go into vote for the bars. And each of those people, they get 7 votes. Four of those votes can come from within their home territory. 3 have to come from outside those. So we do insist that each of those voters are well traveled each year. With this year, we actually made a change to, which will interest you guys in sort of North America. Previously, we insisted that the judges would have to travel internationally to create those 3 votes. This year, 4 votes can come from the internal state, but 3 votes have to come from outside their state. We kind of felt that there are obviously so many knowledgeable people about barcraft in the states that we were maybe alienating a few people who weren't able to travel internationally or didn't have the interest or the volition through work to travel internationally. So now this year, in terms of the states, they can vote for bars outside of their home state. This year also for the voting, for the first time we are completely gender balanced in terms of 50-50 men and women, male and female voters, which we're quite proud of this year. Maybe we were a little bit behind the gun in putting this together, but for this year, and obviously going forward, we will have a sort of 50-50 gender balance in terms of the voters. Yeah, and I think that's pretty much it. Also, with the panelists each year, we refresh them by 25%. So all of the academy chairs are told that they can't produce the same panel year after year, so we can keep it fresh and hopefully keep lots of new names coming onto the world's 50 best list.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's amazing, and I love the notion that there's this kind of ever refreshing stream of different people kind of coming in and getting, you know, different perspectives. It's kind of like I love how you're taking such pains to avoid the Oscar so white phenomenon that happens a lot of just like, well, this is what a lot of people who look and think exactly the same thought the best movies were this year, which is obviously not a representative or a particularly useful way to pick the best thing of a year. So I love that there's been so much focus on not just, you know, creating a gender balance, but also on making sure that you allow people to see things outside of, you know, their home states, their home territories, that you're turning over the judging panel, and that you're really getting something that's truly representative of places that can, like, you know, when you say you're on this list, just be like, yeah, no, I was selected by a diverse group of people to be one of the 50 best. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually one of our sort of key tenets over the next few years. Also for this year, for the first time, we've got 3 academies in Africa to sort of shine a spotlight on the burgeoning bar scenes out there. There's some fantastic things happening in Kenya and particularly South Africa. So we're certainly hoping to see some of the great bars from there come onto the list in future years.
Definitely. Johannesburg and Cape Town, there's some really amazing stuff happening. It must be really exciting on a broader scale, you know, just to be a part of this organization. You know, it's been about 20 years at this point, and, you know, it's kind of, I don't think that 20 years ago we thought that the restaurant side of it had already, you know, it's always been a big deal, but the, you know, the craft cocktail bar side has really, man, it's exploded so much to where, you know, it used to be Milk and Honey and, you know, Pegu Club. And that was like, it was really easy to keep track of the craft cocktail scene globally, you know, 20 years ago. But now you definitely need that giant staff of people who are, you know, judging and putting their input into, you know, the 50 best.
Absolutely.
How exciting.
Yeah, completely. It's a hugely exciting industry to work in, as I'm sure you guys and your rough baritone voices can attest. but it's
But I can certainly see the role of the bartender going a similar way to the celebrity chef. I mean, if you look at media across Europe and the States over sort of 25 years, you look back to the 90s, where there was no programming featuring chefs.
Right.
I can see it going the same way for bartenders, you know?
Definitely. I mean, I sign autographs everywhere I go.
whether people ask for it or not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Checks don't count.
I didn't say that people asked for them. I said I signed them.
Yes, correct. Mark, I've got a question for you that's always kind of rattling around in my mind. Again, going back to the sheer scale of the thing, the globe, right? 50 best, that's a huge whittling down just in general. But now if you've got these panels, I'm curious how many bars even get into the voting? Because it seems to me that the way that you have it spread out, each potential voter could go to and visit and be charmed by different bars. Mm-hmm. And so, like, suddenly, are there any bar? I guess maybe the question is, what is the lowest vote count that could still get you on the list? Because you know, if there's so many, then there have to be several who just get one vote. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's a very valid question, but I'm afraid it's not one that I can really answer, because we try to sort of combat against sort of vote sharing and vote rigging. And if a bar knew that he or she needed sort of, I don't know, 20 votes, let's say, I'm just picking an arbitrary number, then they could try and sort of canvass to get those votes. But you're absolutely right. There are probably in the region of sort of 1,500 bars who will receive a vote or a number of votes. And from that, then obviously the one, as it whittles down towards sort of the top 100, they take sort of significantly more to break into it. But last year, actually, we realized that we're sitting on this huge mine of wonderful endorsed bars by experts all over the world. And they were kind of just going to waste and sitting in our intro, basically. So we launched a 50 Best Discovery website, around this time last year, actually. Cool. That's gone quickly. So yeah, if you go to 50best.com, you'll find the discovery site whereby all the bars which have received at least two votes from our academy, they're all featured on there. So I mean, it gives another moment for those bars who might not just yet be ready or in a position to receive enough votes to get onto the world's 50 best list. But then they can all be hosted there, and our consumers can be assured that they are visiting a bar which has been recommended by an expert in their field.
Sure. So almost like the Michelin guide has its recommended. They didn't quite make the list, but they're recommended, right?
Precisely. Exactly, yeah, like that.
And then also, you guys have always, I think, from the beginning of it, you've always done the 50 best and then the 51 to 100 to watch. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
And those are just the ones that are like, man, you're so close, but you didn't quite make the list.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, so this year we're releasing that list on Thursday, the 29th of October, one week before the ceremony on the 5th. And yeah, that'll be on our social media channels with a countdown from 100 to 51.
Right. I look forward to that one every year with pretty great anticipation because of what you just said. Like, it to me seems like, okay, maybe these are the ones that are just off, you know, radar adjacent. They're not quite on the radar, but they're close. But then it makes me even more curious to go check out what you just described, which is the list of the ones who just got a couple of votes, but they're like burgeoning, or they're becoming noticed, or, you know, they're getting into the, you know, getting taken seriously finally. Maybe they're getting some light.
So that, the ones that, we can still get into.
That's really what I was saying. Yeah, yeah. The ones that aren't going to have a bar at the door that says, you know, we're not welcome.
Well, this is it. And it again comes down to, we put a lot of trust in our voters, both on the restaurants and the bar side. I mean, what might be my favorite restaurant or bar is going to be completely different to yours. I mean, and what the discovery site allows us to do is, I mean, even there's some backstreet noodle bars in Tokyo that nobody's ever heard of on there. But they're going to give somebody a great experience if that's what they're looking for.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, we always say on the show here, you know, every bar has a seat in the pantheon, and, you know, maybe you don't want to sit in every seat.
So
but,
true.
You know, but I might want to sit in a seat that you don't want to sit in, and vice versa, right? Like every place has its home. Listen, this is a great time to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors here on Heritage Radio Network. We're going to come back and keep talking to Mark about the 50 Best. And importantly, we're going to talk about the 50 Best Recovery Program and how they're helping ailing bars and restaurants across the world during the pandemic. So please stay tuned for this very special episode with Mark Sansom from 50 Best.
Every time your customers eat and drink, they vote for the world they want to live in. And as the world's largest B Corp, Danone North America helps people vote for a better world with all kinds of better dairy, coffee, and plant-based products sourced and produced transparently. Danone North America has the brands people know and love, like International Delight, Oikos, Silk, So Delicious Dairy Free, Horizon Organic, and Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. But Danone North America represents more than just in-demand brands and better-for-your-business products. They bring their B Corp certification to life in ways that protect the environment and communities by utilizing 100% renewable electricity sources to produce their products at their manufacturing facilities, committing $6 million to programs that restore the soil's ability to capture and sequester carbon, helping to restore more than 7.8 billion gallons to freshwater ecosystems through their water partnerships over the past decade, and committing to 100% reusable, recyclable, and compostable packaging by 2025. Learn how you can choose better at DanoneAwayFromHome.com.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. And in the studio today, we have Mark Sansom from 50 Best. You know, we said on the break, Souther said that he's really excited to get to the meat of this show because we all had to sign NDAs for this episode. You know, I feel honored, you know, honestly, because I haven't had to sign an NDA for anything this year, so... This is great.
Yeah, it's certainly great.
I feel pretty honored, you know, to be part of this.
I feel like it raises our cred a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Gives us some credibility.
I can send you one a week if you like, guys, if that's good.
Yeah.
I had to digitally sign an NDA to do the show at a crazy early hour with a guy halfway around the world.
Souther had to download an app for this.
I did. You know? I did. It's called Sign Now. There's my endorsement for that app. Yay. Mark, as we went away to the break, I mentioned I wanted to talk about the 50 Best Recovery Program. You, as 50 Best, have created I don't know what to call it, but a program where you're helping out bars and restaurants that are really stumbling during the pandemic. And we talked a little bit about that at the top of the show, how it's causing a lot of stress and agita for operators and employees, bartenders, chefs, line cooks, dishwashers. You know, everybody's in trouble because if we can't open our doors, we can't support our teams. And you've created a program to step in and help with that. Talk about that and how people can get involved or how it works, or just give us all the lowdown.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, take it back to sort of February, March, when I think all of us probably realized that something pretty darn serious was coming down the way. And as a team, the 50 Best guys got together and we sort of, what can we do to sort of assist this industry that we're kind of on the periphery of? We're not in the kitchens. We're not behind the bars. We're not cutting limes, but we do consider ourselves part of this industry, and we want to do everything that we can to sort of help and support the people who are really suffering at this time. So we kind of took a step back and we thought, right, what are our strongest net? What are our strongest assets? And the first thing that sort of came to our mind was sort of our reach across the world in all sectors, restaurants, bars, across all hospitality businesses. So we thought, okay, let's try and get everyone together and try and get a unified voice for everyone to sort of speak together and then give them advice and sort of pass on tips about how they could speak to local government. So we did that on a sort of one-to-one level. But we also created a recovery hub on our website, the world's50best.com. And that sort of had genuine usable resources for bartenders where they could go to sort of look for grants. And we also shared lots of news as it was happening. I mean, as you guys will be aware, it sort of hit Asia first and then gradually crept its way west across the rest of the world. And what we sort of did, we got in touch with the people we knew in Asia. To see how they were sort of first responding to it, and then used that sort of advice and learnings from their experiences, and sort of shared it on our platforms across the world. And then the next biggest sort of pillar of the recovery was like, well, these people need money. These businesses need direct funding.
Boy, do we?
Yeah, exactly, man. So yeah, we started the recovery fund. So the one of the big sort of money earners for that for us, we created an e-recipe book for the first time as 50 Best, called Home Comfort Simple Lockdown Recipes from the World's Best Chefs and Bartenders. So we went out to 50 of the world's best chefs on our list, and we went out to 50 bartenders, and we sort of brought them together to create one dish and one cocktail to pair with that dish. So they're pretty accessible thing. They're nothing that's going to phase any sort of home bartender. Hell, we're all pretty au fait with home bartending after all the virtual happy hours that I'm sure we've all been a part of. But yeah, so we charged a nominal fee of $10 for that, and that all the 100% of those funds would go into our recovery fund, which raised a reasonable sum of money. But the big sort of earning, which took us up to $1.25 million at the last count, was the bid for recovery auction. So we can't thank our partners and our sponsors enough for this. And to be honest, the way that the partners have responded to the world's 50 best bars and our sort of desire to keep supporting the bars has been absolutely integral in being able to put this money together and be able to donate it back to bars. So the brands who we're working with, Michter's, were hugely generous and donated some very, very exclusive releases to be issued over auction. And the eventual winner broke the record for a barrel of bourbon ever sold. It was the first ever full barrel bottling that Michter's actually did, and that raised us well in excess of $120,000, which was a huge contribution.
Wow.
Yeah, huge, right?
That is huge.
Michter's has always been really good about that. I want to say that because I love Michter's. I love that company, and they've always been very generous. So kudos to them. I just want to say that real quick.
Absolutely, yeah. We couldn't have felt better supported by Michter's and the team there. So we put those sort of two lots of money in a pot, and we also took some very, very generous donations from our sponsors and partner brands across the board. Perrier were hugely generous from the bar side. Likewise, Michter's, they were fantastic. And then we gave bars, restaurants all over the world the opportunity to apply for one of our recovery grants, which were generally $5,000 per grant. Now, we know that's not gonna change the world. In terms of money, but it might well help keep a bar or restaurant open for another month, or pay some wages, or put off the inevitable. So we were able to support 236 hospitality businesses all over the world in 53 countries. So that was kind of how we wrapped up. But we're still fundraising, and we'll continue to do so for as long as we can to support more and more businesses.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, actually. So you auctioned off things that were given to you by like Michter's, the barrel of bourbon. What other items did you auction off? And would you consider, or have you considered as a group, that maybe this is something that could be an ongoing, you know, this could just turn into an ongoing grant system?
Absolutely, yeah. So in terms of answering the first part of your question, there were some amazing experiences out there. So Gin Mare put together an awesome Maldives all-you-can-eat, I'm sure there was a lot of eating, but all-inclusive experience, which included business class flights from anywhere in the world. For those of you who are into tennis, Perrier put together a package where it was finals day for next year. Obviously, they're going on at the moment. There's not much of a crowd there, but yeah, finals day for next year with a night in George Sank, really, really nice hotel over there, with cocktails provided by Little Red Door bar. Have you guys been to there?
Oh yeah, love that place.
Definitely.
I went there when Remy was in charge.
Nice.
I kind of
remember being there.
Typical.
I know I got behind the bar at one point and made daiquiris. Yeah, you know.
yeah, but we, we um, we tried to put together as many sort of unusual experiences. There was also a brilliant yachting trip around around Capri, which was really well received. So we kind of challenged the brands to come up with things which sort of spoke to their identity and also would speak to high net worth consumers who would be prepared to spend a lot of money on these things. And there were some unique bottles of like the oldest bottle of Cherry Hearing that had ever been sold on auction. So I mean, we ended up with 154 lots. So yeah, they ranged for everything from the top seller, which was the Michter's full barrel bottling, and then down to there's a couple of signed cookbooks or something.
Sure, yeah. And as I asked also, would you consider or are you considering making this an ongoing? You know, this could be a yearly auction where you get some, probably not, first year and the dire need, probably got some bigger picks like the trip to the Maldives. That's pretty incredible. But maybe this is something that could be ongoing, forever, where you could say auction off a Zoom call with your favorite bartender or something like that.
Is that a donation from you three?
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. So we've got one lot. Excellent.
So we'll do this from the Maldives, as mentioned.
Yeah. I've got to come actually, guys, on this one. I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it's you've got enough visibility and strength of brand, and of course you've got all the brands that love you and support you already, and all the bars and bartenders who are interested in what you have to say, and of course the consumers as well. It seems like this could be a thing that would be an ongoing. Concern that could become a continual fund, because bars and restaurants are hurting right now. The thing is, even as we slowly crack open, the public, I think their vision of us is that, oh, look, you got your outdoor seating and it's full, you're busy. And I'm like, no, my entire bar is empty inside, and though I have some seats outside, I'm not making the same cut as I used to. And I think it's going to be ongoing for a while that we're going to be in recovery from these wounds that we're suffering. So
absolutely, and yeah, we're already in sort of talks with our senior management about how we can sort of continue the momentum that we've built this year and roll it into next year. So we have actually got I can't actually announce it yet, unfortunately, but we've got some.
I signed the NDA.
Yeah, it's another NDA.
it's certainly not the end, and certainly the auction, I think year one for any auction or year one for any event is always going to be very hard to sort of mobilize attention towards it, particularly the public attention, which is being drawn in very many different directions with all sorts of different sectors who are suffering at the moment. But yeah, we're hopefully going to maintain the momentum that we've managed to start this year and carry it on into next year and going forward.
I mean, I can speak personally from my eBay history that the more I, pay attention to auctions, the higher the ticket prices for the things that I buy. And and also that probably coincides with the amount of alcohol I've had and how late at night it is. But yeah, I mean, this is the first one, so it'd be interesting to see how it grows over the years, for sure.
For sure. What was the last thing you bought on eBay, Damon?
Probably a guitar.
That's too cool.
Damon, when you get back, when we get back to a place where we can travel, I want you to come check it out. I bought a ukulele.
Okay, I have a story about that real quick. I bought a guitar. No, this is great. This is a nice story. We'll just interject this right here in the middle of the show. I bought a guitar yesterday in Santa Fe from a guy. I'm a lefty, so it's hard to find cool lefty guitars. I found this guitar I've been looking for forever. Been up with the guy, social distancing, masks, sanitizer, all the stuff. Buy this guitar off of him, and then he pulls out of his car. He says, "Hey, you know what? I really enjoyed talking to you about this guitar and over the phone, and I brought this for you. I just want to give this to you if you want it. I think you'll enjoy it." And he pulls out a ukulele. It's a baritone ukulele. And I was going to buy one last time I was in Hawaii. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll come back to Hawaii sometime and buy one. Of course, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So I got a free ukulele yesterday on top of this guitar purchase. So we can start our ukulele band together now.
That's outstanding, because yeah. you it's a baritone. I got a soprano, so great. We'll
yeah.
But I think it definitely warmed my heart. And I think, you know, especially since we're on the subject of charity, it was kind of like a charitable donation to my my wacky musician side. So
yeah, and
we're definitely working a lot on music, you know, at home, you know, at the moment. So anyway, yeah. But that's a little sidebar there. But I thought it was on point for the moment. So yeah, we'll definitely play some ukuleles.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you playing ukulele. It's going to be... You should start... You should keep it behind the bar with you, you know?
Yeah.
And you can serenade your, like, two guests that you're allowed to have in there currently.
That is the number.
Auction off the night, you know?
that is the number, Mark, by the way. 25% in New York City, and my bar is so small that means I can have two people in there. Because it's not just based on your capacity, it's based on space. And my bar is only 240 square feet. So
I want to ask that question, actually. Mark, if you can remember, what is the smallest bar that's ever been on the 50 best list in history?
Oh, that is a very good question. I would have to double check on it. But I think in the extended 51 to 100 list, it was a bar called The Backroom, which is very, very small and in Milan. But I will come back to you on that.
Cool.
I've been to that bar. It's tiny. It seats four people.
Four.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. So I guess we should start digging into the real reason you're here. We want to talk a little bit about the virtual ceremony, because everything's virtual this year. Thank you, COVID-19. The virtual ceremony that's going to be held on 5 November, and how people can watch, what should they expect, and you know, what big reveal can you give us today from the 50 best?
For sure. So yeah, on the 5th of November, we're trying to get as many eyeballs on it as possible, because previously, as you guys know, the world's 50 best.
Listen, I just want to interject. I got to tell you, here in America, on the 5th of November, we're probably going to want any fucking thing to look at.
Yep.
Anything to distract us from what's going to be going on the 5th of November.
Yeah, we right. set the date before we found out about your impending announcement on the 3rd. So hopefully there'll be something to celebrate or commiserate.
That's just the issue, Mark, is on the 3rd, we are not going to know the answer because of this year's mail-in ballots and how they get counted. Cool. We're probably not going to know for a week. A lot of people are saying they're just going to shut off all connections to the internet for a week so that they can be sane. We're going to want plenty of distractions. So distract the hell out of us on the 5th.
Well, hopefully we'll make purgatory a little bit more interesting. On the 5th, so it's anybody can watch it. It's going to be Facebook premiere, which is going to be, it's 3 p.m. UK time, which on the East Coast. Sorry, I just got to look that
up. I think it's a 6-hour difference.
It's going to be 10 a.m. your time, and where previously which hopefully you guys wouldn't mind getting out of bed a little bit early again.
Time is meaningless right now, pal. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, so true. Where is usually it's a bit of a closed shop, the 50 best event, and which in a way that's great. What bartenders can do what bartenders want behind closed doors. But by making it virtual this year, we're hoping to get a lot of consumer eyeballs and people who are looking to plan their next the itinerary for their next sort of drink based adventure. They're going to be able to see live and make bookings live, hopefully for the 50 best bars in this particular year. So it's a unique opportunity for 50 best as a brand, and indeed the bars which are featured on it this year. So they're going to be in front of a new consumer base which perhaps they might not have been able to access before. Yeah, and in terms of the ceremony itself, we've got a little bit of practice on it. We did I hate using the word, but we pivoted and flexed to creating a digital ceremony for Asia's 50 best bars back in May, so we've got a little bit of experience on it, and it's very interesting for our group to sort of come together and say, right, how do we make this exciting? And a few of the key things that we kind of decided were it needs to be quick and snappy. Lots of these virtual awards that we're seeing that they drag on, and people just want to get the results. So I can promise you it's going to be quick, about 45 to 50 minutes in length. And it'll run down from...
How do you announce 50 winners in 45 minutes? That's incredible.
we've got an excellent voiceover expert who can talk very quickly.
The auctioneer?
Yeah, it would have been good.
Kind of imagining the credits on a TV show where they just fly by in like 10 seconds. It's like, oh, there was me. Oh, I was 27.
I would like to back up just a second there, sure. Because it's something that's confused me, and I'm sure maybe that's not untrue for the listener as well. So you've got 50 best, and then you've got 50 best Asia. We got world's 50 best, and then 50 best Asia. How do they intersect and overlap, and how do they not intersect and overlap?
Yeah, of course. Very, very good question. So in terms of Asia's 50 best, we've been running that list since 2016. So we're sort of coming into our fifth year next year. And with that the Asia Academy chair will pick a panel, in this case, of 280 voters from all across Asia, only from Asia, with the same or very similar rule that they have 7 votes, 4 of which can come from their internal Asian country, and 3 have to come from outside. Now, the two lists are completely separate. So where the only place where they might intersect, so the Academy chair for Asia remains the Academy chair for the world. So she, Vivian Pei, who's been absolutely integral in driving the Asian bar scene forward, she selects the appropriate number of panelists for Asia, and then that they cast separate votes for the world's 50 best bars. So two very separate lists.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So yeah, didn't mean to interrupt the flow of what we were talking about before that though. So back to the show, 45 minutes for 50 winners. That's incredible. You're right. I think that will, you know, at least keep the attention span of the typical American viewer.
Everywhere else too.
Yeah. And you've already done some practice, so hopefully it'll be a smooth event.
Well, it's actually a lot easier than a live event. Whereas you can, all sorts of things can go wrong when you've got sort of 200 bartenders in a room who have probably been drinking since lunch or before. But with a virtual ceremony, you hit play, and then anything that will go wrong can't really go wrong.
Yeah, we've been to the Spirited Awards at Tales of the Cocktail. We've seen that happen.
Have we? Have we been there?
Yeah,
that's the thing. And as I mentioned, I think off air, I came to 50 Best a couple of years ago. It was a last minute decision to make it, and we flew in day of. We did a few things in the city that were going on. We went to the event at night. It was crowded. It was crazy. It was over the top. It was insane. And then we drove straight from there to the airport and flew back home. So, you know, we were definitely bleary eyed for the whole situation, but man, we had a great time, and we were happy to be invited, and it was a big deal for us. So
that's the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, early hour in America anyway for 50 best bars on November 5th on Facebook. And I guess how do you, we'd go follow 50 best bars on Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. So just follow us on Facebook, and you will get a reminder nearer the time. But yeah, if you just tune on, you just click the Facebook Premiere Live, which will come up, and it'll give you, we count down sort of 10 minutes before, and then we'll get rolling at 10 a.m. your time on 5th of November.
And that'll be a live event, so people can watch it, but then it'll be evergreen, right? If I don't wake up till noon, I can still go back and watch it. It'll be there to
if, yeah, it, on the off chance,
yeah,
that people don't wake up at 10 a.m.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm thinking of my brethren on the West Coast. It's going to be even earlier over there. Come on. It'll be 7 a.m. Unless I'm still up. I don't know if I'm getting up at 7 a.m.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the announcement last night, because last night you put out a special sort of a moosh boosh for the overall 50 best announcement that's going to come. I heard that scoff. I feel like I'm about to be corrected on my pronunciation of moosh boosh by a Londoner, and I'm going to be shamed by it.
Spot on.
Thank you very much. Last night you all announced the Michter's Art of Hospitality Award. And this is the, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first year that you all have done this, correct?
Correct, yes.
And the winner of, I'm going to give you a little drum roll here, the winner for the inaugural one was...
Well, wait, Greg. Slow down your drum roll. Let's talk about what the Art of Hospitality Award is. What is the Art of Hospitality? The Michter's Art of Hospitality Award.
Oh, that's a very good question.
Yeah, it's almost like we planned it.
So as you quite rightly pointed out, it's the first one this year. So the 540 people who vote in our academy, they're all asked to name the single best hospitality experience they have had in the voting period for this year. And it's the first time we've done it this year. So we kind of again set back and thought, what can we do that's sort of appropriate to the time? And I think hospitality is going to become even more important as part of a guest experience to a bar as they attend a bar, particularly in terms of bringing back the encouragement for guests to actually return to those bars. And indeed, like, have the confidence to return to bars. I mean, look, you guys know all about this, but it's for a guest to actually walk through those doors. Sometimes in the current COVID situation, for some, it feels like a leap of faith. And the better sort of hospitality that they receive when they're greeted, even with a masked server or in different parts of the world where masks aren't required, hospitality is becoming even more important than it has been.
Absolutely. And it's something that I do wonder and hope coming out of this, that I feel like hospitality was one of those things that for a lot of lay people, they, if you're not the sort of person who works at a bar and doesn't notice all of the ins and outs of the hospitality experience, you only sort of notice it when it's not there. Like, you can't quite put your finger on, like, oh, like, I really liked this bar. It had a vibe, or it had a je ne sais quoi or something about it. But, you know, if it's not there, people who have never worked in a bar a day in their lives can pinpoint exactly what was wrong with their bar experience. And part of me is hoping that, you know, what you were just saying of people being more trusting and more excited to go to places that really focus on that hospitality aspect outside of the food they're serving or the drinks they're pouring is really gonna be a big thing that people look for and notice and draw them into these bars as we sort of slowly claw our way back out of this hole that we've been in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's more important than ever that sort of guest confidence comes back. And if one guest goes to a bar and has a good, comfortable experience, they're going to tell their friends. And look, we all know that word of mouth is the strongest form of marketing in times such as these.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think any time in our field, I think that's bigger than any advertisement or social media that I can do. It's literally just people on the ground who are, you know, I call them the evangelists, the one who come in and have a great time, and then they go out and proselytize my church for me, you know. Great. So now we can get back to that drum roll. We're going to hear from you who the recipient of the first ever, the inaugural Michter's Art of Hospitality Award. Thanks, Greg.
It's maybe Sammy from Sydney, Australia.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding. You know, I got a chance to meet a couple of those guys at Amore Amargo not too long. Let's eliminate the past 7 months because it feels like that was one day. So I would say maybe a year plus ago, those guys were at Amore Amargo and we chatted for quite a while. They left me one of their cards. They invited me to come to the bars. And I'm excited to finally one day get over there. But that's great. Those guys are outstanding. And what were the parameters or what was the experience that was had there that put them over the top? Or do you know that information or can you share it right now?
The voters have the opportunity to sort of pass comments when they name their single bar where they've had the best experience, and the things that were coming through for the guys here was the personality with which they serve. So maybe Sammy is in Sydney, the heart of Sydney's CBD, central business district. So walking through the threshold, it looks and feels like a hotel bar, but the guys behind the bar, you've got Stefano Catino and Martin Hudak, and Andrea Goldi, who are just such big characters. And even though they're wearing ties and double-breasted jackets, their disarming smile sort of comes through. And people were just reporting how they felt the sort of dichotomy between like super super classy sexy hotel bar and then these kind of mad guys behind the bar who are firing bubble machines and bubble guns. It's just seems to work.
Right, and maybe Sammy's whole, correct me if I'm wrong, but their whole kind of deal is like Rat Pack, like that sort of deco era, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The spirit of Las Vegas from 90s, 50s, I think they described it to me as, and I think they've kind of nailed it.
Yeah, they were charming fellows when I met them at the bar. They left an impression for sure. They were super excited, to just be hanging around and banging around in New York City. I remember them, and I don't, you know, a lot of people come through my doors. I don't remember everybody, but these guys are definitely on my list to when and if I ever make it all the way to Australia. The furthest I've ever made it from here was New Zealand, so I was close.
Very close.
Next time I can shoot a little further and get out there to maybe Sammy. And that's incredible. And I know that this kind of award, it being a sort of special singled out award within the 50 best, is certainly going to shine a bigger light on them, and they're well deserved as far as I can tell. What a great thing! What made you, as 50 best, decide to create this sort of separate award?
I think again it comes back to that meeting we had in sort of February, March about trying to be as reflective of current circumstances as we can. And in terms of hospitality, I think like we were just saying, it's going to be so important in giving people the confidence and desire to step back into bars. So we thought this year was the right year to start representing it and celebrating it.
Yeah, pretty good timing on that one. Yeah, and I think it's, again, I think it's great. It's gonna really, I think it's gonna boost them. I think they're already making a lot of noise. I assume that can't say anything NDA, but I assume they're on the list somewhere. And this will just bring them even more sort of recognition. And I think, man, that's what we all need right now. We need a little bit of light shined on us. Let people remember that we're here. Let people, because we go 7 months and it's like, your entire trajectory of your habits change. So, I've gotten to the place where I'm starting to be concerned about my former regulars who I haven't seen in all of this time. Maybe they, their patterns of life are going to change where I'm no longer in their circle. And that's surely happening to my bar and every other bar. And, it's of concern to know that when we do quote unquote come back, we may not be as back as we were before we left.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean,
anything that drives people to the door is welcome.
I think we've heard quite a lot of sort of negative press about the hospitality industry all over the world. God, in the UK, as you're probably aware, that there's now a 10 p.m. curfew for all bars, and it's actually the government's own figures is that only 3% of COVID transmissions occur in hospitality spaces. So these kind of draconian, arbitrary restrictions on hospitality venues, they're just not fair. And we hope with announcing the list of the world's 50 best bars this year, it kind of shines some positivity and gives the bars some sort of positive news stories and the journalists some positive news stories to write about to start getting bums on seats. Because God, if people don't start making these reservations, the bars aren't going to be there next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's and I love that focus on winning the court of public opinion over, because it's happening here in New York too. I remember. I saw a tweet from Paul Krugman at the New York Times saying, blaming basically us opening bars for not being able to open schools in the fall. And he actually used the phrase, "We drank away our children's futures," like actually borrowing from the Anti-Saloon League, lock, stock, and barrel. So I love that, that's something that's kind of in the back of your mind of kind of like, we need to make sure that people are still thinking highly of these places, still feeling like that all we want to do is just help people have fun. That's what we get to do for a living. So thank you for that.
No, absolutely. And you guys are the people at the front line creating these amazing spaces for people to come and enjoy spending their leisure time. And when without you guys, it's the world wouldn't be the same place.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Certainly not without Souther's ukulele bar.
That's my intimate night of bitters and ukulele music with Souther Teague for you and one guest.
That's the new model. Yeah. I'm going to get a lay for everybody. Everybody gets laid. And I want to touch back on what Greg said earlier. about hospitality, you know, the pieces that are missing. Like, hospitality is like bitters. You shouldn't notice it unless it's not there.
So true.
Yeah. Got to get bitters in everything. Mark, tell our listeners how they can follow along with everything that's going on. Your Instagram for 50 Best, your Facebook, etc. What do you got?
For sure. Yeah. In terms of announcements, everything for us sort of comes through our Instagram channels first. We're sort of trying to build up as big a following as we can, and the Instagram is at 50 Best Bars, and it's the same for the Facebook channel. So yeah, please do give us a follow, and in turn give all your favorite bars some love all over the world.
Yeah, outstanding.
Amen. And
we are following along closely because we want to. We want to be.
You want some more NDAs, don't you?
Well, I like to. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I like to follow along 50 Best because, you know, frankly, I could probably never be on a panel of the judging because I don't travel enough. But it's because I'm always at work. But I like to see what's going on at other places. So it's a great source of inspiration for me to be able to see, you know, the decor of places, the things that they're kind of serving, the bartenders themselves and their personalities and how they look, you know. So like, even if you feel like, oh, I'm stuck in, you know, wherever you are at your bar in the middle of America and you feel like you can't get around, well, you know, this is an easy way to travel vicariously and see a lot of things and pick up a lot of, you know, things that you can add to your own arsenal of tools and, you know, wow some people. So I've been following along for quite some time. So I really appreciate all the work you guys do. And, you know, I would like to just throw in here at the end, like, I know that these awards are, you know, subjective, of course, but, you know, it still means a lot when you get recognized. And I know that, you know, the haters out there are going to always hate, and there's always going to be different opinions about, you know, who won and who didn't win and why they should have and why they shouldn't have. But you know, if you want to change those kind of things and get out there and make your own damn award ceremony. So, you know, I'm happy to see it from afar. I'm happy when I'm a part of it. I think it's great. So I really appreciate all the things you guys do, and especially this initiative that you've come up with to help struggling bars. And I hope that continues on in perpetuity. Like, it doesn't, I don't think it needs to end because the pandemic is ending, hopefully, but I think it should continue on. And again, yes, if you want me, for sure, I'm 100% in. Greg, Damon, I can't speak for you guys, but if you want us to do something in an auction next year, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm totally in.
We're going to the Maldives, right?
So there we go. We're
in. A live ukulele concert from Southern Damon. Yeah. You know?
I'll buy one too. We can do a trio.
Yeah, but I mean, but honestly, like, we also have, you know, different types, you know, Southern, you for sure do, different types of, you know, cool swag, like t-shirts, bar tools, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, and, you know, we can definitely put together some packages from our bars and also some together for the Speakeasy and Heritage Radio Network.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so
in. We can make something appealing for the bidders to bid on, that's for sure.
Thank you very much, guys. I've made a note and you're on the list.
Expect
a phone call from me in about 6 months' time.
Excellent.
We won 50 Best Podcast.
We did it, guys. Hey, why not?
Here we go again. Well, Mark, man, again, thank you so much for being on with us. Raise your glass and say cheers. Really glad to have you on, and can't wait for November 5th to distract us from everything that's going on here in America, and also to let us know who exactly are the 50 best bars in the world. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's been a real, real pleasure.
Cheers.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers. So you don't shun the
devil with your rock. Want more of the Speakeasy? Follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. You can find Damon at Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform and give us a star rating, 5 if possible. If you're visiting New York City or a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out beforehand to make sure we'll be here. We'd love to see you. And please support our show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart to donate.